A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Audio Mystery Theatre presents The Ornamental Hermit, a D.S. Billings mystery. Part 3, The Mysterious Scholar.
Ah, here they are. Our men from the Yard. Welcome to Abingdon. Come in, come in.
I'm Detective Sergeant Billings, and this is Detective Constable Clarkson.
And I'm Detective Sergeant Ferguson.
We've brought a photograph of the man we arrested 2 days ago. We are hoping to obtain a positive identification.
Yes, we'll go on to Sutton Courtney shortly. But first, let me brief you on the case so far. Lord Palmer's body was found on the 21st of October at around 8 in the morning by Bertie Green, the gardener of Sutton House. The body was lying face down on the ground with an axe sticking out the shoulder blades. Green was in the outhouse when the murder occurred and had heard Lord Palmer cry out for him, but he was in no position to rush to his aid. It were a sit-down visit, according to Green. My breeches were wrapped round my ankles, and I was halfway through completing my purpose. With all the will in the world, I was in no position to jump up and rush to his lordship's help.
Why was Lord Palmer calling out for him?
Green, bring me my shotgun. I have a pair of gypsy parasites here. That's what the gardener heard Lord Palmer cry out.
Gypsy parasites?
That's what the gardener said. When he finally concluded his business in the outhouse, he rushed to the woods and found Lord Palmer lying dead in the ground in the manner I just described. It turns out that Lord Palmer was on his way to the horse fair in Abingdon and had decided to take a shortcut through the woods. According to Lady Palmer, he was looking to buy a new horse and had put 3 5-pound notes in the inside pocket of his coat. The banknotes were not there when he was found. Also missing was a gold cameo ring with a picture of a Greek warrior and a gold watch engraved with 2 date palms.
So what makes you think it was Brendan Loughran who killed him?
Well, Lord Palmer's body was found just outside Loughran's grotto. It was Loughran's hatchet that was used in the attack, and the man himself disappeared shortly afterwards. As far as we're concerned, that's enough to make him a suspect.
What about the gypsy parasites?
Well, that threw us too at first. There were some gypsies here at the time who'd come up to the horse fair from Somerset to sell a horse. There were 4 of them. They camped in a field in the south bank of the Thames. We interviewed each one of them, but they all had an alibi in Isaiah Frodsham, who owns the field and who confirms they never left it. You'll find the report of the interviews in this file. According to Green, Lord Palmer called everyone a gypsy. He used the word as an insult and was in the habit of yelling gypsy at anyone who displeased him. This is also confirmed by Lady Palmer. Nobody else was spotted on the terrain at the time of the murder. That makes Loughran our only suspect. Now, I believe you have a picture of him.
We do.
Well, then I suggest we make our way to Sutton Courtney so you can speak to Green yourself. I have 3 bicycles parked outside. I take it you both ride.
That be them, then, be it? Detectives from London?
Yes, this is Detective Sergeant Billings, and this is,
Clarkson. Detective Constable Clarkson. How'd you do?
Found our Brendan, then, did ye?
Well, we found a man that fits his description, but whether it's Brendan Loughran, that's what we're here to find out. I wonder if you could... could you please take a look at this photograph?
Oh, Arl, that be him, all right.
Are you sure? Look again, please. Take your time.
That be him, Sergeant. That be our Brendan. Made it all the way to London then, did he? How did he get there? I thought you fellas had all the roads blocked.
We assume he must have taken the river.
How tall would you say Brendan Loughran was?
He'd be about 5'7", I'd think.
Not 6'3"?
Oh, no. Not 6 foot.
Because the local police described him as being 6'3".
Local police? Is that ye, Thomas?
The height was an estimate based on Lady Palmer's account.
But he weren't 6 foot, Thomas.
Lady Palmer described him as being tall and imposing.
He were imposing, all right, but he weren't 6 foot, Thomas.
Well, that's it then, ain't it? We can go home now, can't we?
Yeah, hang on, Clarkson. Would you object if I took a stroll around the grounds?
Oh, Billings, come on, there's no need for that. Let's go back to the station. Have ourselves a couple of drinks before we go home.
Well, you go on ahead. I just want to have a look around on my own.
I'll wait for you here with the bicycles.
I'll keep you company, Constable. Cigarette?
Thank you. But hurry up, Billings. We don't want to miss the train back to London. The rib's waiting for me with a supper. It's due tonight.
This is it, Sergeant. This be our Brendan's home.
Oh.
Oh, this cave's always been popular with animals. I got a torch here. Let me light it so you can see better. There you go. You can see Brendan's home now. We tried making it as comfortable as we could. See, there's animal hides on the floor. And he had a bed and a brazier and a stool to sit on. It's still not a very jolly place, is it?
How did Brendan get to be employed by Lord Palmer?
Well, he replied to the advertisement Lord Palmer placed in the Abingdon Herald.
For what position?
Lord Palmer were looking for an hermit to live in these woods. Oh, that's right. You heard correctly. A hermit. Apparently this whole area which lies between Boar's Hill and the River Thames were holy once. All to do with a certain Saint Abe. Some northern princess who introduced Christianity to the Saxons. Hermits would come to live here in medieval times and I guess Lord Palmer thought it'd be funny to recreate that. People with money have different kinds of interests than us ordinary folks.
Yes, they do.
I recognised Brendan when he showed up for the interview. I'd seen him in the woods before. Came here to poach, I think. We get a lot of poachers round here. I even shot at him once or twice, I think.
Shot at Brendan?
Oh, not to hit him. Just to chase him away. Anyway, I never said nothing about it to Lord Palmer. Poor man meant no harm. He were only doing what he had to survive.
How much did Lord Palmer offer him?
3 shillings a week for a whole year. For that, Brendan were offered shelter and a robe to clothe himself with and sandals for his feet. And he'd have water and bread and perhaps a few other things to make soup with, but no meat. And he gave him a staff, because apparently a hermit must have a staff. And he told him not to shave or cut his hair or his fingernails. And if he completed his 12-month, there'd be a £100 bonus.
And where did Brendan come from?
Scotland, I think.
Why do you think Scotland?
Well, there were a woman up in Scotland he'd write to. He used to post his letters for him.
A woman?
Ah, a woman. Lorna Loughran. He'd address the letters care of the post office in Whithorn, Wigtownshire. He only wrote to her a couple of times. He weren't allowed to write, of course, but I smuggled in some paper and some ink after he signalled me for him.
Lorna Loughran, did you say?
Ah, that were her name. Your hand's trembling. Is it too cold for you, Sergeant?
No, it's nothing.
Come on in. I got something in here that'll warm you up. Come in. There's a small hole in the wall behind the bed. There you goes. Gin. Sit down and I'll pour you a cup. I got it for him. Smuggled it in for him. He weren't allowed no liquor, of course. But he looked so downright miserable, the poor bugger. I thought he needed something to lighten his spirit. And this stuff warms you up like nothing else can. He liked his gin, so he did. He went through 4 bottles a week. Here you goes. Put that down, you. Cheers.
So, did you spend many nights in here chatting and drinking gin with Brendan?
How could I have chatted with him? He had no tongue.
Of course, I don't know why.
I'd have done it, though. If I could. I'd have sat here with the poor fella and I'd have chatted with him all night. He were a sensitive fella. even if he did look like a wild man in them dirty rags and that dirty tangled hair. Although he did smell. I don't know whether he's noticed that.
Yes, I have.
He had a real problem with his odour. And it weren't that he didn't wash. He washed regularly. I saw him do it. Washed himself and washed his clothes. But the smell remained and it was very hard to be close to him. So I never did speak to him. Why, he'd already been living here for 6 weeks before I noticed he had no tongue. 6 weeks, can you imagine? I used to bring him bread, see? And he'd take it from me and then he'd chew on it and chew like a blooming cow. It were a peculiar way of eating, but I never thought nothing of it until one day he nearly choked. He were coughing and gagging and I ran into the shed and slapped him on his back and then he opened his mouth and tried putting his fingers down his throat to get that little morsel and that's when I saw it. I were shocked. "Ye has no tongue," I cried. Then he looked at me angrily and turned away and refused to look at me again for days. I never did discover what happened to his tongue. Did ye know, Sergeant?
No, I don't.
Oh, he were a sensitive soul, all right. All he wanted was to be left in peace. But in the beginning, Lord Palmer would invite the locals to his estate so they could look at the hermit. They came from all over the place. Abingdon, Appleford, Cullum, even Didcot. All came down to stare at the wild man, as they called him. Lord Palmer would make Brendan get out of his shed every week and walk up to the garden in his robe and scarf so the people could see him. They'd gawk at him and laugh at him and shout obscenities at him. And sometimes they'd even throw rotten food at him. They were a real freak show. There weren't nothing holy or dignified about it.
Do you think that is why he attacked Lord Palmer? Because of the humiliation?
Oh, that only lasted the first few weeks. The novelty wore off pretty soon and the people stopped coming. Brendan were left on his own for most of the time after that. Especially as Lord Palmer started spending more time in London. Probably on account of her ladyship being frightened and disgusted by Brendan. Brendan went about his business then. Chopping blocks for the house or collecting firewood for himself. Are we done with this?
Oh, yes, thank you.
I don't suppose there's much point in hiding this gin now, is there? He's not coming back, is he?
No, I suppose he isn't.
You got him holed up in a prison cell now, have you?
He's in a holding cell.
Waiting to be hanged.
If he's found guilty.
Why does ye say if? Does ye think he's not?
Do you?
Well, I don't know who else could have killed his lordship. It were his axe.
Couldn't somebody else have taken his axe and attacked Lord Palmer with it?
Like who?
Well, somebody who intended to rob him. I understand there was some money missing, and a ring, and a watch.
Oh, or he'd been robbed, all right.
Well, then perhaps somebody else took the axe. You did say you get a lot of poachers around here.
Or that we do. But we ain't had any lately.
So then, in theory, Lord Palmer could have been killed by someone else.
That's what ye said before, Sergeant. But I arsed ye by who?
Who was staying in the house on the day of the murder?
Just the Lord, the lady and the servants. Oh, and Mr. Percy had been staying at the house for a couple of days, but he left the night before the killing.
Who is Mr. Percy?
He were some young scholar from Oxford who'd come to study the hermit. He come here often to talk to Lord Palmer. His lordship were very interested in history, as I mentioned, and liked having Mr. Percy around.
Did you mention Mr. Percy to the local police?
No reason to. Why? Did you think Mr. Percy killed Lord Palmer?
Do you?
Mr. Percy left the night before the killing. I told you that already.
What time did he leave?
11, 12, something like that. Lord Palmer were killed at 8 in the morning. You don't think Mr. Percy would linger in these woods all that time, does ye? Just to kill Lord Palmer for £15, a watch and a gold ring?
If my calculations are correct, Brendan had been living on the estate for 11 months when the murder occurred.
Oh, that's right. He came here in January, left in November.
So he was only 1 month away from claiming his reward when Lord Palmer died.
That's right.
It doesn't seem reasonable then, does it, that he should kill Lord Palmer for a watch and a ring if he was only 1 month away from getting £100?
No, it don't, Sergeant. It don't seem reasonable at all. But then it never is reasonable, is it, when one man murders another? I think you'll find it's a lack of reasoning that causes such a thing to happen in the first place.
Well, at least we got what we came for. The positive identification, that is what we came for, ain't it? And we travelled long enough for it. This is the furthest I've ever been from London, do you know that? And I can tell you that I don't like it. I don't like being away from home.
Oh, do shut up, Clarkson. The trembling has started again. I should have taken an ampule of morphine with me. Why didn't I do it?
How'd you do it, Billings? Wait, Billings, I'm talking to you.
What?
How can you be on your own all the time? In 9 years of marriage, I never spent a single night away from the Rib. Never. Do you believe that? When are you going to get yourself a girl?
Never.
Why not? You're not that young anymore, you know. You really ought to start looking around for someone to settle down with.
Oh, do be quiet, Clarkson, please. I can't handle a conversation right now. Oh, my guts are in agony. I need my morphine.
Did you get any new information from that gardener?
What?
When you went to look at a grotto.
Oh, no.
I told you you wouldn't. I'm a better copper than you think I am. You should listen to me more often. I was born into the police, I was.
Were you?
My father was the chief inspector of the W Division. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Pup of the truncheon, me.
Pup of the truncheon. That's charming. Oh, now do be quiet. You go on up to Jacob's. I'll join you in a while. I just need to, I need to spend a penny.
Rightio.
Just a few more hours. A quick debrief with Jacobs, then write a report. I'll let Clarkson do most of that. And then home to my morphine ampules. Oh, just 2 hours. Three at the most. I can do it. I can do it. I need you to send a telegram to the Wigtownshire Constabulary.
Oh, hello, Detective Sergeant Billings. Are you all right?
What?
You look pale.
I'm fine. Ask them to look for, Lorna Loughran in Whithorn. Tell them to ask her about Brendan.
Oh, what shall I say it's pertaining to?
Tell them it's to do with the Lord Palmer case. It seems the wild man has a wife.
Yeah, will do.
Thank you.
Ah, Billings.
Brendan confessed, Billings. Do you believe it? While we were out there in the sticks, the blooming bugger confessed everything to Mr. Jacobs.
He confessed?
Yes. I went to talk to him while you were gone. I asked him if he killed Lord Palmer, and he nodded a clear and undeniable yes.
I can't be. It must have been a nervous tick.
It was a nod, Billings. I asked him twice, and twice he nodded. Are you all right? You don't look at all well, old man.
I'm all right. Where is he now? I want to talk to him.
He's been transferred to Newgate Prison. Are you sure you're all right? You look ill.
I'm not ill. I must talk to him, sir. Tomorrow. He is not guilty. There must have been a misunderstanding.
There was no misunderstanding, Billings. The case is closed.
But it can't be. He's innocent.
How do you know?
I have an instinct. He can't have done it.
Then why did he confess?
To put an end to it all. Please, sir, you must let me speak to him. A grave injustice is about to be done.
Do sit down, old man. You're clearly not well. Get him some water, will you, Clarkson?
Yes, sir.
What's the matter, Billings? You're shaking.
It's nothing, sir. It's just something I ate.
What on earth did you eat?
Fish stew. The fish must have gone bad. Please. Sir, Loughran is innocent. He had nothing to gain by killing Lord Palmer. In fact, he had everything to lose. He was only 1 month away from completing his contract and receiving his reward.
The case is closed, Billings. There are no other suspects, and he confessed. We already have our hands full with the Whitechapel murders. We're under constant scrutiny from the press, and we don't want that. Which brings me to another point. But perhaps that can wait until tomorrow.
What is it?
There's an article about you in the Illustrated Police News.
About me?
A despicable article by a certain Jeremiah Rook. He really seems to have it in for you.
Why?
Apparently, you told him you felt sympathy for Loughran. He spun the whole thing to show that the CID is too soft and filled with bleeding-heart do-gooders who sympathise with criminals. It's all tosh, of course, and I shall certainly write a complaint to the editor. These kind of personal attacks on individual members of the police service are reprehensible and completely unacceptable. but in your case, he does have a point. You're a good detective, Billings, but you do have a tendency to take things to heart, Loughran being a case in point.
Here's your water.
We'd better get you a cab. Get yourself to bed and take the day off tomorrow. Don't come back until you're better.
What about my report?
Clarkson will write it.
But Clarkson didn't speak to Bertie Green.
Clarkson will write it.
Been given the day off, so why am I awake at 7 o'clock in the morning? You have a tendency of taking things to heart. It's true. Why does Loughran's plight affect me so? It's the thought of him sitting alone in that cold, damp cave. It was a harsh, lonely life he led, and is still leading, having swapped a cold stone cave for a cold brick cell. Yeah, I keep thinking of that lost and desperate look in his eyes when I visited him in the holding cell. There was a gentleness there behind that rough, weather-beaten face. A beautiful and melancholy look which somehow felt familiar. Are these echoes of my own loneliness? Could I end up like that if I let my addiction and moodiness get out of control? Is Loughran a cautionary tale? No, I'm sorry, Jacobs, but I can't let this one go.
Yes?
My name is Detective Sergeant John Billings from the Metropolitan Police. I'd like to speak to Lady Palmer.
Lady Palmer is not receiving visitors.
I'm afraid I must insist.
Insist what you like, Sonny, but I'm under strict instructions not to disturb her.
I'm Detective Sergeant Billings from the Metropolitan Police. I need to speak to Lady Palmer about the investigation into her husband's death.
Yes, I heard you the first time. But as I understand it, Lady Palmer has already spoken to the police several times, in fact. I'm sure Lady Palmer cannot possibly have anything more to say.
I don't really need your permission to enter, Miss...
Miss me, mister. My name is Hinge. Mrs. Hinge. And I will not let you in without a search warrant.
I do not need a search warrant, Mrs. Hinge. I only want to speak to Lady Palmer. She is legally obliged to cooperate. If you will not fetch her for me, I shall go in and fetch her myself.
Oh, very well. I shall fetch Mr. Etheridge for you, but that's all I can do. It's more than my job's worth to disturb her ladyship. You wait in the hallway.
Ah, it's you. You're the chap who led us into the dungeons.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mr. Etheridge, but I would like to speak to Lady Palmer.
Have you come to apologise?
Apologise?
For the ordeal you put her through last time?
No, I have not. I've come to ask her some more questions.
Questions? Oh dear, oh dear. That will be troublesome. Lady Palmer is awfully tired of answering questions. Perhaps if you tell her you've come to apologise, she might let you in then.
She will have to let me in whether she wants to or not, Mr. Etheridge. I represent the law.
Yes, yes, of course, my dear chap, but you do want Lady Palmer to cooperate, don't you? If you barge in against her will, she'll simply clam up. I know how to handle her, Mr. Billings. Say you've come to apologise, then slip your questions into the conversation afterwards. Trust me, that's the way to get results.
Very well. Tell Lady Palmer that I've come to apologise.
Good man. Wait here. Lady Palmer will see you now, Mr. Billings.
Mr. Billings, so you've come to apologise, have you?
I have.
Well, I have already received a written apology from your boss. A second apology seems entirely superfluous and a complete waste of time. I hope the Metropolitan Police has better things to do with its time than to go round apologising to people.
won't you sit down, Mr. Billings? Tell us about your investigation.
Investigation? What is there to investigate? I thought the vulgar man had been caught. When will he be hanged? That's what I want to know.
He won't be hanged until he's found guilty by the court, Mother. And that won't happen until the police have assembled sufficient facts to prove his guilt. Mr. Billings is currently in the process of assembling these facts. Isn't that right, Mr. Billings?
That is right.
Perhaps, Mother, we may be able to assist Mr. Billings. I believe Mr. Billings has some more questions he wishes to ask.
Do you have more questions you want to ask me, Mr. Billings?
I do, Lady Palmer. I wish to ask you about a certain Mr. Percy.
Clement Percy? What has he got to do with anything?
I believe he was staying at the house the night before Lord Palmer was killed.
And what if he was? It's not forbidden, is it, to entertain Mr. Percy?
Who precisely is Mr. Percy?
Mr. Percy is a scholar. Isn't that right, Mother? He's an expert on asceticism.
Mr. Percy is a very nice and charming young man. Why are you inquiring about him?
We need to establish the movements of everyone who is in the house around the time of Lord Palmer's death. We have yours, we have the servants, but the Berkshire CID's report makes no mention of Mr. Percy.
And why should Mr. Percy be mentioned? You can't possibly believe he has anything to do with this ghastly business.
Mother, the police need to prove that it wasn't him. They need to prove that nobody other than the vulgar man could have killed Lord Palmer. That is why he's inquiring about Mr. Percy. Isn't that right, Mr. Billings?
That is right.
Well, you can take my word for it, Mr. Billings. Mr. Percy is a deeply religious and highly moralistic man. He cannot possibly be connected with my husband's death.
What was Lord Palmer's connection to Mr. Percy?
Mr. Percy came to Sutton House to look at the hermit. That's where he met Lord Palmer. They struck up a conversation and Lord Palmer became fascinated by Mr. Percy's knowledge of ascetics. He invited him back to the house several times so that he could teach him more about the history of asceticism.
He was a very knowledgeable young man and he told us such fascinating stories. What is the name of that man, Arthur, who sat on the pillar for 37 years?
Simeon Stylites.
Ha! Yes, that's the one. Simeon Stylites. Can you imagine it, Mr. Billings? At the time of the Romans, this man climbed up a tall pillar, built a small platform on it, and remained there for 37 years. 37 years! Can you believe it? He never came down. Parcels of food were winched up to him daily, and he was visited every day by dozens of pilgrims and spectators. Isn't that wonderful? Such idiotic things people do in the name of religion.
Mr. Percy wanted to write a book about the history of ascetics and was looking for a patron. Lord Palmer and Mr. Percy discussed a possible patronage for a while, but the relationship soured over a disagreement about Locrin.
What kind of disagreement?
Mr. Percy agreed with me that Locrin was a vulgar man.
Mr. Percy considered the whole custom of employing an ornamental hermit to be vulgar and farcical. He said that offering a financial reward for someone to complete a year of seclusion was entirely contrary to the idea of monasticism, and that Lord Palmer's experiment was nothing more than a freak show. Lord Palmer took great offence to that.
The pompous old fool!
He sent Mr. Percy away there and then, and that was the last you ever saw of him. Isn't it, Mother?
Oh, it was terrible, Mr. Billings. They were shouting at each other. Mr. Percy accused my husband of wasting his time, of leading him on, of taking advantage of his vast knowledge with false promises of a patronage. He was so very angry, Mr. Billings.
And where did he go to?
Well, back to his home, I assume.
Where is his home?
Percy Street in St. Clement's. Isn't that funny? Clement Percy lived in Percy Street in St. Clement's. He told us that he was looking for rooms in Oxford, and when he stumbled upon that address, he decided to stay.
He said it was Providence.
Isn't that amusing, Mr. Billings?
Where had Mr. Percy acquired all his knowledge about asceticism?
He studied divinities in Oxford. That is to say, he started studying divinities, but stopped after an argument with his parents, from whom he became estranged. He was largely self-taught after that.
Do you know where he studied?
I'm afraid I don't. Do you, Mother?
No.
Could it have been Tatham Hall?
I really don't know.
Is this the 952 to Oxford?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. It's a long shot, but I have nothing else to do today, and the coincidence I stumbled upon is too significant to ignore. I never heard of asceticism until I started reading Sebastian's diary. What are the chances of encountering two young men with the same fascination? Could Clement Percy and Sebastian Forrester be one and the same? And if so, is Sebastian somehow connected with Lord Palmer's death? It seems unlikely, and yet... Oh, I beg your pardon.
No worries. My mistake.
Oh, it's you. Mr. Rook, isn't it? From the Illustrated Police News.
Ah, Mr. Billings. I didn't recognise you.
What are you doing in Oxford?
I might ask you the same question.
It's my day off. I'm here on a private matter.
Well, if it's a private matter, I'd better keep my nose out, hadn't I?
Is that a photo camera you're carrying?
And a bloody heavy one it is, too.
Are you publishing photos now in your newspaper? I thought it was just illustrations.
Nah, this is for something else. I also have my private business.
I see. Well, have a good day, Mr. Rook.
And a good day to you too, Mr. Billings.
Is he following me, or am I being paranoid? I need to get a grip on myself.
Yes?
I'm looking for Mr. Percy.
Mr. Percy? Who told you Mr. Percy lives here?
I asked around. One of the neighbours said...
What do you want from him?
My name is Detective Sergeant John Billings from the Metropolitan Police. I need to speak to him about a case.
Metropolitan Police, eh? It's about time you fellas got involved.
Involved? What do you mean?
I don't know how many times I've spoken to the Oxford Police. Each time they've given me the same reply. This is not a police matter, Mrs. Warburton, they keep saying. Mr. Percy is a grown man and England is a free country. He has the right to disappear, but not when he still owes me a crown in rent. I keep telling them. Anyway, I see they've finally passed the case on to Scotland Yard.
Yes, that's right, Mrs. Warburton. That's what I'm here for. May I come in and ask you some questions?
I can show you his room, if you like. Follow me. All his belongings are still in his room. I changed the lock, of course. I won't have him slip into the house in the middle of the night and retrieve his belongings while I'm still asleep. Oh, no. I've learned my lesson the hard way. These impoverished scholars will stop at nothing to avoid paying their bills. He can have his belongings after he's paid me. This is his room, Mr. Billings.
May I go in?
Do what you like.
He has a lot of books, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. He had enough money for books, but rent? Forget about it.
Sayings of the Desert Fathers. I've come across this book before. When did Mr. Percy disappear?
I last saw him on the 21st of October. That's one day before the rent was due. He rushed into his room after having been away for a week and started throwing some clothes into a bag. He was about to leave again when I grabbed him by the arm and reminded him about the rent. He had a habit of paying late. Yes, yes, he kept saying as he pulled himself away. Well, yes, yes turned out to be no, no, 'cause I ain't seen him since, the sly little fox.
How long has he been boarding with you?
16 months.
Is Clement Percy his real name?
What you mean?
He lives on Percy Street in St. Clement's. Don't you think that's rather a coincidence?
I never thought of that. Here. He's not a wanted criminal, is he? I knew there was something shifty about that man.
What do you know about Mr. Percy?
Oh, very little.
Did he ever receive any mail?
Never.
Did he have any friends come to visit or family?
No one. And he didn't talk much either. He were a queer fellow, Mr. Billings. He'd go out at the strangest hours and not come back for several days. Then he'd lock himself up in his room and stay in there for days. I don't even think he ate anything. Well, I hope not, anyway. Lodgers aren't allowed food in the room. We've got a dining room for that. On account of the vermin, you see.
So Mr. Percy had a habit of disappearing?
He did, Mr. Billings, but he never disappeared when the rent was due before. Well, I'll tell you something, Mr. Billings. When you do find him, and after he has paid me that crown he owes me, I'll kick him out. So I will. I won't have such queer fellows in my house. No, sir, not any more. Enough is enough.
So, that's what the towers and spires of Oxford look like. I wonder what I would have studied if I'd been given the opportunity. What career would I have pursued if I hadn't been forced to leave the Forester's oppressive home? I'll be arriving in Paddington soon. There's a certain shop close to the station. I wonder if I should pop by for a visit. I mean, I shouldn't. I promised I never would again. But maybe a quick visit just to see if they have anything new. No, a promise is a promise. I said I'd never set foot there again. I'll go straight home and avoid that shop like the plague.
Ah, Dr. Smith, how are you? So nice to see you again.
I am very well, thank you.
I thought it was you. I kept seeing you walk past the window like you were hesitating about entering.
Hesitating? No, I wasn't hesitating. I just came back from Oxford and remembered there was a shop across from the station where
What we sell here is all perfectly legal, Dr. Smith.
I know it is.
You are perfectly safe here.
I know I am. I received your letter a few weeks ago. I believe you have a new series in?
I do indeed. I do indeed. I have it right here. These are photographs of young men practicing sports in a forest meadow. They're from a German sports camp. They have the young men exercise in the nude in keeping with the custom of the Greek Olympics. You see, here is a discus thrower. And here are two men wrestling by the river.
These will do, thank you. You can put them back in the envelope.
I thought they would. How are the anatomical classes going, Dr. Smith?
Very well, thank you.
I'm sure these photographs will be of a great benefit to your students.
I'm sure they will. How much are they, please?
I also have a series of photographs from the South Seas, sailors frolicking naked in the ocean. Would that perhaps be of interest to your anatomy students?
No, thank you. Just these will do. How much do I owe you?
Is it just muscle structures your students are interested in? Or would they like more detailed pictures of the male physique? Because if so, I have some photos in the back room which might interest you.
No, thank you. I'm in a hurry. Please tell me how much I owe you.
Oh, it won't take long, Dr. Smith. My assistant Charlie will gladly show you. You haven't met Charlie, have you? He is a very pleasant young man. I'm sure you'll like him. Charlie, this is Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith is an expert in anatomy. Dr. Smith, this is Charlie, who, as you can see, has a very lovely anatomy. Go on, Dr. Smith. Let Charlie show you what he's got. It won't take long, but I'm sure it'll be to your satisfaction. Ain't that right, Charlie?
That's right, Mr. Bull. Follow me, Dr. Smith. Well then, Dr. Smith, what do you want to do?
Do? I thought you were going to show me some more pictures.
Pictures? What do you want to see pictures for, if you can have the real thing? It's a bob for a rub, a shilling and sixpence for a bagpipe, and a half crown if you want the full story. But we'd have to do that somewhere more discreet. Mr. Bull has a room with a bed available upstairs, which he can rent for a shilling. So what will it be then? You're in a hurry, ain't you? So I'll give you a bagpipe. It won't take long. You got the money on you? You can pay Mr. Bull on your way out. Now, come and stand by the light. Well, come on then.
I think I'd rather look at the pictures.
Will you stop going on about the pictures? Can't you see I'm offering you the real thing? Now, come here.
What was that?
What?
There was a flash of light.
I didn't see nothing.
There was a light outside the window.
It was probably lightning.
It's not raining.
Dry lightning, Dr. Smith. Nothing to worry about. Now, come over here and let me finish giving you your bagpipe. I haven't even started yet.
I'd better go.
Aren't you going to let me finish?
I'm sorry, I have to go.
You're still going to pay me, ain't you?
I have 2 shillings.
You've got to pay Mr. Bull at the counter.
You take them off me.
No, I don't know, Dr. Smith. I ain't supposed to. You've got to pay Mr. Bull at the counter.
Don't worry, I'll tell Mr. Bull I changed my mind. Here, take the coins.
Finished already?
I have to go, I'm sorry.
Dr. Smith, you forgot your photographs.
What? Oh, how much do I owe you?
7 and 6 pence.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. You again?
What a coincidence. You should watch where you're going, Mr. Billings. You nearly had me drop me camera equipment. Here, you're not shadowing me, are you?
I was about to ask you the same question.
Why would I shadow you? Have you been doing something you shouldn't have?
I expect it's just a coincidence, then. We must have taken the same train back from Oxford. The station is just opposite.
I expect that must be the case.
Well, good day to you then, Mr. Rook.
Good day to you, Mr. Billings.
In this episode, the parts were played as follows. Billings, David Ault. Clarkson, Bob Lawrence. DC Ferguson, Arthur Etheridge, Ivan Wilkinson. Green, Jeremiah Rook, Luke Malloy. Desk Sergeant, Charlie, Sean Mendham. Jacobs, Anthony Hewson. Mrs. Hinge, Tanya Rich. Lady Palmer, Sarah Bowers. Passenger, Aubrey Parsons. Mrs. Warburton, Floyd Kennedy. Al Bull, Mike Young. Audio Mystery Theatre is free to listen to, but not free to make. If you want to show your appreciation, please consider buying us a virtual cup of coffee at ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. That's ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. With theatre spelt the British way. That is, with R-E at the end.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.